This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Lent 5, Year C. Our penitential season is heading towards its climax, and this week's texts urge us to press on down the road to the cross. It's a costly journey, rich with illustrations. So let's see where it goes.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. As you listen to our ideas and mix them with your own exegesis, perhaps you'll come up with others of your own to match your congregation. Anytime and in any way we can make use of the different, quote, smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started. The Old Testament lesson for Year C, Lent 5, is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. This is part of Deutero-Isaiah, so the whole book has taken a turn, and we're away now from the judgment and the doom and the this is going to happen to you to, well, it's happened, and now we're looking beyond it to restoration and return. So Isaiah is saying that the Lord is going to do a new thing. Do not remember former things of old or consider things of old, because God's about to do something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? So in looking at these particular verses, we came up with illustrations and special effects for every single smart, which is unusual for us. I mean, that's pretty good. We feel proud of ourselves.
Yeah, that's very creative.
We're going to start out with the first one at the top of the list, word smart. And we're looking at the phrase right at the very end that all of these things are going to happen so that the people and that the animals themselves will declare God's praise. So for an illustration, think about what praise you or your congregation would give to God for something that God has done for you in your midst. Is there a particular thing, a circumstance of deliverance, a time of healing, that be your illustration for a special effect? Take that circumstance, take that instance, and write a prayer, an opening prayer included in the prayers of the people, included in the prayers of dedication. Just keep banging away at it throughout your service and reminding people that this is something that is worthy of praising God for.
For iSmart, we're looking at the phrase, it springs forth, do you not perceive it? And Isaiah is calling the people to take a second look at what's happening right under their noses, that God is doing this new thing and they haven't noticed it yet, probably because they're busy being in exile. But then, you know, it's good to have your attention averted from time to time to the other things. So that's what
especially
he's doing.
Especially they're joyful and full of life and restoring. And Okay.
So that's what Isaiah is doing here. And so for us, where we live, at this time of year, we're starting to see some changes that are just barely perceptible in trees and shrubs and whatnot all, that there's just a little bit of color coming on the end of the branches.
Very
and
subtle.
You look over the hills and it's starting to just have a little green haze or a little red, maybe.
It's very subtle.
Just a hint
very
of color.
Subtle.
Yeah. So maybe that's an illustration you could use for this sort of subtle change, although I don't know, maybe God's change is going to be a little more dramatic, but it starts
like the
that
fountains.
Way. So another illustration might be of springing forth kids playing in the water fountains that come up through the sidewalks, and particularly in cities or amusement parks where the water just goes boom, shooting up right from holes in the sidewalk, and the kids all scream. It's great fun. We have links to some pictures, so you can scroll that over into the special effects, mm-hmm. and show some of those pictures or choose one. Or you might also just go ahead and use some photos and videos of streams of water or rivers in the desert. Another special effect you might have here is if you have trees or bushes around your property that are starting to bud and bloom, you could have somebody outside pointing to those and as people are coming in and say, "It's springing forth. Do you not perceive it?" And they won't know what the heck you're talking about until you get into the sermon. But that's okay. That sets them up.
That's exactly
right.
So
that could be a lot of fun.
Yep. For MathSmart, we have something that's not necessarily math or logic. It's kind of an orphan. But we figured it would go here, that the imagery of what God is doing is kind of a mirror of the first Exodus, where the people came from the south in Egypt, and God made dry land through the water. And here, the people are coming from the north, from Babylon, and God is going to make water in the desert. So play with that as an illustration, that just this mirror image. And if for a special effect, you could, if you have any of them, you can get a film negative. And
yeah, because it's maybe more that than mirror.
Yeah, and it's also kind of sort of an hourglass thing. There's this one event, and then it comes to a point, which is where the people are now, and then it's going on into something for the future where God is moving.
Okay, for Body Smart, a special effect might be to design some interpretive movement around this passage, making use of the elements of the water, the dry land, some travelers, and some wild animals. Now, I have this in my head, and I haven't gotten it down on paper or anything yet, but if you are prone to interpretive movement or have someone who is good with choreography and that sort of thing, then play around with this a little bit. You know, have some blue material that would be the water.
Ooh,
and a couple
neat.
People flapping with that. And
people
and
going through the water on dry land.
Yeah, so on one side of the story, you're going to have the water being the main thing and the dry land crossing it. And then on the other side of the story, it would be the dry land with the water coming through it and animals in the middle giving a cheer and people traveling through. So anyway, play with that and see what happens. That could be fun.
And if you choose to do that, and if you choose to do it as interpretive dance or just want some music behind it, we do have a link to a song called Streams in the Desert by Abigail Miller. That will be on the show notes. And going to Nature Smart, all of those little critters were mentioned that are in this particular passage. The idea is that, you know, God is saying, even the animals are going to give me praise. And I don't know that we necessarily ever see animals praising or giving thanks. I mean, the fact that they're living and being fruitful and multiplying is probably an indication that, you know, hey, they're doing what God wanted them to do.
Our cat never gave gratitude.
No, it didn't at all. But I did find a study that animal behaviorists did about something called mutually reciprocal behavior or proto-gratitude. And they saw it in the more humanoid types of animals, chimpanzees, orangutans.
Primates,
yes. Thank you. But they also saw some indication of them in domestic animals as well. And they're not really sure if that's more sort of learned behavior because, oh, here comes that human that always feeds us, or if it is actually a sense of gratitude for being cared for being. But go take a look at that study. You can use that as an illustration.
For People Smart, we want to look at the phrase, chosen people, the people that I have formed for myself, says the Lord. And so thinking back to a time, perhaps in elementary school, when you were chosen for teams, and that is fraught with emotion for people, good and ill. But that's okay. It doesn't hurt to touch those places sometimes. So go back to that gym class or recess and standing around waiting to be picked for a team. And what does that feel like, hoping that you'll get picked? And the relief if you got picked somewhere in the top half or in the middle maybe, and the agony of waiting if you were toward the end. And then the flip of that is that God doesn't make us wait, that God just says, hey, you are chosen, you are mine. Mm-hmm. Some other illustrations about being chosen might be hearing of your acceptance to a school or program you'd applied to, or getting the job that you were hoping for, or promotion. Maybe receiving a phone call or text that you were waiting for from somebody that you're eager to be in touch with. Perhaps a call to the ministries of the church within your congregation or into professional ministry. And adoption of children or even pets. And you can roll that into a special effect by inviting your congregation to break up into small groups to talk with a couple folks around them about those stories of being chosen. And pay attention to the emotional load there. Acknowledge that that might be a sore spot for some people, and make allowance if they don't want to share, but encourage them to take the risk.
For self-smart, we're looking at the phrase, do not remember or consider the things of old. And as an illustration for that, you can talk about your computers, laptops, desktops, your iPads, your phones. Anytime you get too much stuff on them, they start to run slower. And that can just drive you bananas. So that means it's time to clear the cache, sweep the memory, get rid of things. So that's an illustration of what God is encouraging the Israelites to do. Don't think about all that stuff. Get rid of all that old stuff, because now I'm going to put some new things in you. So as a special effect, have people actually take out their cell phones and look at the amount of data that's just sitting there on it. How many apps are being used? How many emails or texts are still on it? How many cat videos? And encourage people who have cell phones to look at those things and right then and there erase them. Get rid of the old stuff. Get rid of the unused stuff. Get rid of those apps that have been sitting there since you bought the thing and you never used it. And think about how God wants to empty our inboxes so we can then receive the blessings of God's provision and presence.
Let's go on. The epistle lesson for Year C, Lent 5, is Philippians 3, starting at the middle of verse 4 and going on through 14. Here Paul is giving a list of all the reasons why he was awesome at being a Jew.
Spectacular Jew.
And then turns it around and says, even though I had all these fantastic things going on, I count it all as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ as my Lord. And I've suffered a loss of all things and counted as rubbish. So just really dumping on all the good things that he had done before because of the surpassing value of Christ. And then goes on to say, now I haven't attained to the end. And so I'm still pushing on and pressing on and sharing in the sufferings of Christ so that I may achieve the resurrection at the end. Forgetting what lies behind and pressing on toward what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal. So a little connection with the Isaiah passage of forgetting the past and moving on to see what God is going to do next. So what we're going to do next, is we've got eye smart, math smart, body smart, people smart, and self smart for you.
So starting with eye smart, we've got a special effect. If you can get your hands on one of those desk calculators with the paper tape, David says he thinks they still make them. I don't know. But it's the kind that you would enter. I think they do, actually. Yeah. You enter numbers and hit something, and it kind of just sort of goes ka-ching, 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 and it just like that.
Just like
that. And it rolls out a paper tape with a long column of numbers on it. Well, get one of those. And as you're reading the passage and you're getting at the top of the passage when Paul is going through all of his assets, all of those things that made him a spectacular Jew, hit some numbers and make it go ka-chink and bring each one of those things out. And then when you get to the point where he considers that it's all rubbish, it's all trash, yank the tape out, roll it up, squish it up, and throw it away.
Nice. Connected with that, as we go to Math Smart, it's a pretty simple math equation that we've got here, and that is knowing Jesus Christ as Lord is greater than everything. So simple greater than statement, an inequality, mathematical inequality. Jesus greater than everything. You can also talk about this in terms of business and accounting and finance and such. So Paul is basically writing off all those previous assets and counting them as loss. He's moving them from the asset column to the liability column, or at least writing them off for tax purposes. Anyway, I'm not great with the accounting stuff, so you might invite, if you're like me, you might invite an accountant or a business person who knows about such things to talk a little bit about balance sheets, profit and loss statements, and things like that. And then how this applies, because that's basically what Paul is doing. All of this is loss, but we're still in the black because knowing Christ is greater than all of that.
Isn't that awesome? It's all a loss, but it's not red ink.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Paul continues this particular thing for Body Smart. This particular theme shows up a lot in a lot of his writings about running the race. Marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. There it may be a sprint toward the end, but it's definitely a long distance run. And so for an illustration for this particular smart, Body Smart, we have a couple of video clips. The first one is a race. I can't remember the name of the guys who were running, but it's kind of long. So you're going to want to watch it.
It was a marathon after
ha,
all.
Ha ha! So you're going to want to watch it yourself to decide where you, if you're going to use it, where you're going to put it in. But it's just amazing. They've been running for close to an hour, and they're still going at it, and they have the reserves to be able to put that final sprint in, and it's amazing.
It must be more than an hour if it was a marathon. Or was that the 10,000?
That was the first one. That was the marathon, and I looked at the clip and the tape that was, you know, the time that was that they were running. It might have been a half marathon. Maybe it was only 13 miles.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the other clip we have is the London Olympics in 2012, the 10,000 meter race, and the clip we have is a long one. It's the entire thing. But if you fast forward it to the 59:52 later minute mark, you'll see the rest of the pack coming in. They have the camera set up straight down the track, and you see everybody who was lapped and everybody who was passed finishing the race. They didn't give up. They crossed the line. They finished. So that's kind of what Paul was talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, some people are going to get there ahead of you, but you run your
race.
Press on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For People Smart, we're looking at the phrase where Paul says he wants to share the sufferings of Christ. And there's something in our brains called mirror neurons. And so this is,
nature smart.
This is also nature smart. And mirror neurons are brain cells that recognize when someone else is doing a thing, and they say, okay, that's as good as doing it. And so,
so is that how I learn how to tie your shoes?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And all sorts of other things. So when you see someone doing a thing, that part of your brain says, here, I'm doing it too. And so that's what gives us the capacity for
empathy.
That's the one I was looking for. Yes.
I feel your pain.
Yeah. So those motor neurons give us that experience. And so, you know, tearing up when someone tells you about something painful that they went through, something that was hard. And if you see someone that you love who is feeling sick, a child or a spouse or parents, and they're ill, you don't feel well yourself. And so we
it's not because you're sharing the bug.
Right. It's because you're sharing the suffering.
Yeah.
Right. So so some nature smart and people smart, that interpersonal connection that your brain does automatically, but we feel in our bodies. Oh, it's Body Smart too.
Dang. Well, let's finish off with self-smart then.
Okay.
And we're looking at the as to righteousness, blameless, and Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul is attempting to achieve blamelessness with that ticker tape thing at the beginning of all those things. That's what he's trying to be considered blameless for. But he doesn't actually achieve blamelessness until he meets Jesus Christ. So a way to illustrate that might be to think about like going to traffic court, and you have a charge leveled against you, and you go to traffic court and you get the charges reduced, and now there are no points against your license. You did what you did, but the record now says otherwise. And yes, there's a reason that I brought that particular point up. I was in traffic court last week. Where'd you get that idea? There are no points on my license now. Anyway, so a special effect, something you can do to illustrate this, or to as a special effect right there in the worship space, is get a dry erase board or an old chalkboard and put it up front. And at the beginning of the service, encourage people to write on pieces of paper that you'll provide things for which they would like to be considered blameless, or maybe even things they'd like to be forgiven. Collect them at some point and judiciously select some of them. And at the beginning of your sermon, write them up on the whiteboard and just leave them there for a while. And then when you get to the point in the sermon where you talk about the forgiveness and the blamelessness that Paul is talking about, get your eraser, erase them. They're gone.
Nice.
Indeed. Anyway, let's move on. The gospel lesson for Year C, Lent 5, is from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. This is the story of Jesus coming to the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary a couple of days after he has, after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead in the previous chapter. Mary anoints Jesus' feet with some really super expensive ointment, which raises eyebrows, not only that she's doing that, but also the cost of it. It's really expensive stuff. It is so expensive that David went and did some research. And so that is our first smart, math smart. But we also have body smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. But we're going to start with math because, wow.
Yeah. So the passage suggests the retail price of the nard perfume might be 300 denarii, which would be 300 days' wages. So
not quite a year.
Not quite a year.
Good chunk of it.
About a year, you know. It's a
good chunk of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, according to one website where you can figure out how many working days in a year for us modern folk, it works out to be about 250. So it would be more working days than we put in, but probably about a year's worth for the folks in that day. Mm-hmm. The Social Security Administration website lists for 2014 the national average wage index at $46,481.52. So if you divide that by 250 working days, you get $185.92. And if you multiply that by 300 days, then you get $55,777.20 for the price of the nard.
Wow.
And it says it's about a pound, and that's a translation of the Greek litra, which is about 12 ounces. So
a little bit off,
but it works out to be $4,648 per ounce if you're doing it as a perfume. So that's pretty expensive perfume. Oddly, it works out to be, by a quirk of the math, a tenth of the national average price because of the difference between the work days. It works out to be
a
variable of 1.212.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So it's a tithe. Wow. There you go. All in one shot.
So that's math smart. Body smart, we're looking again at that actual anointing, taking that really super expensive perfume and breaking it open and anointing Jesus' feet with it. Matt Skinner, who writes at workingpreacher.com, quoted a Vladimir Nabokov, who wrote this: "Smells are surer than sights or sounds to make your heartstrings crack." There's definitely a connection between smell and memory. Skinner goes on to say, olfaction, emotion, and memory share closely networked real estate in the brain's limbic system. Our sense of smell relates closely to how we experience life and process significant memories. So think for a bit about what sorts of memories pop up when you smell cinnamon, or when you smell vanilla, or when you smell butter, or when you smell outside smells, skunk, manure. grass, the smell of freshly mown grass, what memories pop up for those scents?
Perfume.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Exactly. When you smell a particular kind of perfume, who comes to mind? Also in this story, as Mary anoints, she assumes the role of a priest. Only priests were the ones that anointed. Well, you know, people anointed their loved ones' dead bodies. And so there's kind of some, what the heck is she doing here? Is she self-ordaining and being a priest to anoint him a king or a prophet or something? Or this anointing thing with the body, what's she saying? What's she doing here? She uses her hair as a towel, and showing a real level of devotion and humility and service that just is remarkable. I mean, we don't see that much at all, and they probably didn't see that much in their day either. So the body smart is just the act itself and the smell that is associated with that act. She's taking on that scent onto her own person in her hair. The whole room is just being filled with it. Also, in anointing Jesus' feet, she's making a connection later on in the next chapter in John's Gospel where Jesus washes his disciples' feet.
So for a special effect, you might choose to burn some incense in the sanctuary to give people the experience of the room being filled with a powerful aroma, or spray around some good perfume. Now, you want to be aware of people's asthma and allergies and so on, but... just to give that sense. And then maybe go on and ask them to consider, what would Jesus smell like ordinarily? And what does the kingdom of God that he brings in smell like? Those are some interesting questions. And to help you with that, you could actually, here's a little nature smart, is that you can actually buy some nard essential oils. So it's still very expensive per ounce, but you can get a vial of it for about $20 on Amazon for a tenth of a milliliter or something. So yeah. A few drops for $20, but it might be worth it anyway to get
to see
a
what
sense,
it smells like.
Get a sense of the intense smell that mm-hmm. that would produce.
Don't drop the bottle.
Going on to people smart, we have the line here that Jesus says, "You always have the poor with you. You do not always have me." For illustration, from Beth Sanders, who was writing for the Christian Century a few years ago in an article entitled Heaven Sent, S-C-E-N-T. She writes, "Surely Jesus, who always taught the disciples about caring for the poor and downtrodden, will see it Judas's way. But Jesus wants to see Mary's confidence in the boundless capacity of God's love. He knows that piecemeal acts of charity will not dissipate the aroma of poverty, spiritual, emotional, physical, and economic, that clings to us." Mm-hmm. So, wow. Hmm. So Jesus doesn't seem to be saying, don't worry about the poor, just there's something going on here that you need to pay attention to as well. And that kind of ties in with both the other passages, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes, it does.
So, for a special effect, you can do this passage as a reader's theater, and we've written up an example that you can use for that where it's broken up into parts with some movement around the room.
For self-smart, we have an illustration that could also serve as a special effect to ask the questions, what costly gifts have you received from Jesus, and what costly gifts are you willing to offer to him? And give thanks for both. That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or you can tweet us at morethanhearing, or you can drop us an email at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe you got an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be useful for you and maybe give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. If you like the show, leave us some good reviews on the iTunes store. It'll help others find us more easily. So we'll be back with another installment next week. In the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.